All right, so this complaint was investigated on the allegations that were made, which were confirmed by the investigator with her talking to people at the facility. They, as we all know, there is no state statute regarding this kind of problem, so it is definitely an issue that goes to the HR at the facility where the doctor was working or is working. There was a note in that investigator's report that the medical director was spoken to and that he addressed the issue. The doctor had received a little some training and hopefully has learned something from this event, and we'll move forward. So I will make a motion to dismiss case 19-22-C as there are no violations of current state statutes.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Comments?
Well, I think, you know, there's a silver lining to this complaint is that the state statutes will be changed soon to encompass these type of activities for podiatrists that practice in Arizona. So if a complaint like this should come in a year or so, that this will be able to be investigated and dealt with by the board. I don't know if we can comment on the activity of the doctor, but certainly, hopefully you've learned a lesson from this and how you conduct yourself, not just with your patients, but with the employees and the people that work at the surgery center. It's important. It's important how you represent yourself and your profession. So hopefully that just kind of a joke that got out of hand doesn't happen again, and you learn from it. We don't have to deal with this again.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. We've had discussion, so it's time for a vote. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? So moved.
Thank you,
Dr. Polakoff.
You're welcome.
All right, we're going to move on here to the next case, which is 19-16-C. We have Dr. Andrew Lowy, who is present with his attorney, Mr. Bruce Crawford. I believe we also have the complainant present. And ma'am, we will refer to you by your initials ST. And the investigator on this case is Dr. Cohn, who is present by phone. So we will go ahead and have Dr. Cohn first give his report. Dr. Cohn. Hello, Dr. Cohn.
Okay, thank you, Bruce. You got me?
Yes, gotcha. I can hear you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, good. This is case number 19-16-D. The case is on an allegation against Dr. Lowy that arose from non-surgical procedures that were performed by Dr. Lowy. The procedures themselves were performed on June 21st, 2012. The initial issue involved a complaint that resulted in her being her patient being referred to see Dr. Lowy by a plastic surgeon because her both her feet were ugly and Jameson never stated that the toes are painful and maintaining the toes. The surgical procedure performed resulted in a sloppy toe and continued to result in issues with the patient herself. She states she lost confidence in Dr. Lowy. She sought care from additional opinions and is not elected to proceed with surgery or additional care with Dr. Lowy. The allegation also involved discrepancies in billing records with Dr. Lowy. As far as response from Dr. Lowy, the summary of his response it includes a review of the timeline from the patient's initial presentation to Dr. Lowy's office. The initial presentation occurred on May 23rd, 2012. Yeah, upon referral from a plastic surgery with Dr. Lowy notes for long and painful toes. Care and discussion consisted of treatments from conservative to surgical intervention. The surgical discussion included possible possible complications that could occur from the surgical procedure itself. Dr. Lowe did perform the surgical procedure. He noted within his records some issues with compliance as a possible cause of some of the problems patient developed postoperatively in both of the things that were used to stabilize her foot were actually bent shortly postoperatively during. She had been discharged from there on August 27, 2012 for progress. She had done well at that time. There are telephone conversations as well with Dr. Lowe. Lowe notes that the patient doing well, is doing good. As far as care, he did see Dr. Lowe after the surgery for a different complaint that came back in 2014 as well. But she continued to care with Dr. Lowe even post-surgical procedure. As far as medical records, though, they're certainly involved. And actually, the record report itself stands for itself, I believe, in review as well as in our chart. Some of the important dates included the initial office visit, which occurred on May 23, 2012. At that visit, Dr. Lowe notes patients complaining of painful long second and third toes on both feet. He tried different types of shoe gear without complaint. She is very active. She was a competitive softball player. Objectively, the findings that the system was described subjectively. X-rays were also objectively noted to consist of long second and third digits associated with osteoporosis. As far as conservative care, it has been discussed. Surgical discussion consisted of alternatives. In surgical discussion, Dr. Lowe's surgical discussion and plans of treatment is very much involved. It included discussion of alternatives, indications for surgery, and risks associated with surgery, as well as complications and diagrams. So the visits and the surgical and the treatment discussions were noted within the medical records and were involved and complete. Pre-operative discussion, the surgical procedure occurred on June 12, 2012. The operative report was included. It noted arthroplasties and skin plasties that were to reduce second and third digits. The surgical procedures appear to be performed without any complications and would be within standards for the community as appropriate procedures to perform. There was intraoperative fluoroscopy included. Those verified the positioning of the K wires and they appeared to be in adequate formation, in good formation, and there was no bending of the tip. Therefore, it had occurred afterwards on weight bearing. Prescriptions were given. The consent that was included with a complete consent and listed all possible many of the complications, including things such as failure of the procedure to provide relief. There was also a diagram included within the consent. The postoperative care was involved. It was long. There were multiple contacts, either in the office or via telephone conversation. These occurred, and a lot of it was associated with just the normal healing process, having a slight resistance, which was treated appropriately, as well as issues where the patient had apparently bent the pin that required removal of the pin at a much earlier date than Dr. Lowe would have planned on taking that pin out. Here extended all the way from the surgical date of 2012 into 2015, it was time there was a telephone note that Dr. Lowe noted in the records. The patient was planning to have another surgical procedure. That procedure was only to be used in that location. However, and it was noted throughout the medical records, the patient considering but not wanting to proceed with the endectomization, and Dr. Lowe bringing that option up. Because Dr. Lowe felt that the support was maintained within his armamentarium of procedures to perform if they went back in that second time, he was very uncomfortable proceeding without, which I felt was appropriate. Phase was on the way to Florida, therefore they elected not to proceed with it. Dr. Lowe, because of the continued concerns, recommended an additional payment. That was essentially the last time that Dr. Lowe talked to the patient, was in 2015. The records themselves, as I know, were complete. There were discussions of care, there was resistance, it was identified, it was treated appropriately. X-rays were performed. The X-rays were performed at broken intervals. I agree with what we see on those X-rays and the bending of the knee and the hip. The consensus was correct, and there were multiple places where diagrams were performed, and those were utilized for initial informed consent. In terms of charges, the charges were all based on the documented records and they appear appropriate to the CPT code form, performed and involved utilization and care for X-ray department employees and consultation. I did interview the patient and had a telephone conversation on July 21, 2019. Since she does think she's been able to resume her active softball, but not as much as she did prior to the surgical procedure itself. She did seek two additional opinions and has decided not to proceed with surgery for either of those conditions as well, period. As far as cortisone, she said she did not remember any time Dr. Lowe discussing the option of the cortisone injection. She did not wish to have the toes endactylized because the appearance of the toes if that procedure was performed. These things she'd be willing to have an implant but was not willing to consider as a medicalized procedure. I thought it was interesting that I had this conversation on July 21, 2019. I received a call on July 24, 2019 from a person that identified herself as, and I believe it was Sam Derek Tomlinson. I can't spell the name because I wasn't at home when I picked up the phone call. But she identified herself as this patient's attorney. She stated that she's actually a friend of AC. She was semi-retired and she is concerned in legal matters, such as this case. There wasn't much that she brought to me. One of the only concerns she specifically started to discuss was the charges. And I assured her that I had already discussed and referenced charges in the report that I had completed. I did not have a much longer conversation with her. It just seemed to us to get a phone call from someone saying they were a friend, but we're actually as an attorney. I did have a conversation with Dr. Lowy, which included Dr. Torford. Those notes are included within the record as well. I did confirm all the paperwork that was stated. It was dated on January 21, 2015, which was additional consensus and paperwork. I confirmed that that was actually the discussions that were going in for the surgery that was going to perform for the repair of the complication that patient elected not to proceed with, but they were maintained as part of the records. But Dr. Lowe himself agreed the patient was very active and felt that she did She did contribute actively to activities and traveling, which she's continued to do throughout the postdoctoral course. As far as discussion of the legal issues, I think it would be best to let Mr. Crawford. He did talk with me a bit about the attorney and share that with the attorney and the interactions between themselves and the attorney. So I would rather let Mr. Crawford explain some of it if it's required by the board today, because these did not occur, but these things occur within the time that was close to the surgical procedure itself. I did receive additional supporting information. It was a supplemental report. It was from Dr. John Schubert, who would be considered an expert within the cardiac field. Dr. Lowy and Mr. Crawford have obtained this because of all the concerns and apparently the conversation using the attorney from the patient. It should be noted that Dr. Schubert determined that there were appropriate post-operative discussions, surgical procedures, and post-operative care. He felt that the patient may have been overactive and that might have contributed to some of the resulting changes post-operatively, and that Dr. Lowy did provide standard care with the patient. The patient did develop a retrograde complication, not necessarily something associated with malpractice issues, so, but more of a bad result. That report is included in the records as well, and I do concur with Dr. Schubert's recommendations and human readiness report. So from my own standpoint, I felt that the allegations against Dr. Lowey are unsubstantiated. Essentially, there are three areas. One of them was the surgical technique, which could result in the oil pump. Another would be the discrepancy within the notes. Within the allegation, patient shows said multiple times where he said Dr. Lowey said one thing, but another thing actually occurred, or diagnoses were wrong, or timing to discussion. I felt that those are not tangential in the sense that the notes from Dr. Lowey were extremely complete, and it didn't appear as if there's anything within those notes themselves that would be hiding anything. They did appear to be taken in conscious procedures, so I felt that they would be just going to maintain the timeline. And the last issue that could have occurred was marginal and billing. As far as that surgical procedure, I do feel that she had a bad result, but I don't feel that a bad result is the same as malpractice. I feel that when you do remove the joint from the pelvis, cancer can become flailed. It did. I felt that Dr. Lowe's discussions and thoughts as far as treatment, including the possibility of a synovialization, would be the appropriate way to treat that throat and prevent any further issues from it. So a flail throat is unfortunate, but it is a complication. It isn't a malpractice issue. And the care that Dr. Lowe performed within the time of care, within the time she dealt with this patient, was all within the standard of care. As far as those discrepancies with the notes, I wasn't in the room. I can't tell what the patient said A, B, was written down. I just felt that based on the records we have from Dr. Lowey, they're complete, they seem consistent. I don't see any signs of something different being added or filled in at a later date. The issue with insurance for the medical records are accurate and supposed to be utilized were appropriate for the treatments that were performed. So I didn't feel that any of these three issues were to be substantiated. So I would say this was an unsubstantiated case, and I thank you for allowing me to participate.
Thank you. I have a question, Dr. Cohn. What was the actual postoperative week that the K-wires were removed?
We'll go back. I believe it was around the 3rd. But I can go through the records.
Anybody else have any questions for Dr. Cohn at this time? Thank you, Dr. Cohn. Okay, now we will hear from the complainant, ST. More than welcome to come up here and have a seat at the table and give us a summary of your complaint.
Thank you. Just to clarify, my name is Sarah Tunsell.
We only refer to you by your initials.
Okay. Okay, well, the doctor got it wrong, so I mean.
Yes.
All right. And I am Andy's friend. We work together. I at city court for years. Criminal defense is my area, and she was a clerk and a bailiff. Very private person. We did know things about each other, but we've maintained a friendship for over 20 years. And it was back in 16, we were together socially, and she grimaced and was walking funny. This is how this all came about. And then she told me the history, and I'm certified in mediation, so I said, you know, I don't do that type of law, but if you'd like me to try to reach out and contact the doctor, because I said, what occurred?
Pardon me, are you an attorney of record in this case?
No, so I'm appearing as a
Pardon me, you can't.
You cannot appear before the board unless you're a licensed attorney in the state representing.
I am.
You are.
Oh, yeah.
I'm licensed to practice in Arizona.
Yes.
And you are the attorney of record for this patient?
Nothing has been filed in court. So as far as there's been no notice of appearance, I've dealt with.
Not for the court, for this board. We would need you on record filing as the attorney of record, so if you would like to speak on behalf of the patient.
Otherwise, it'll have to come from the complaint.
Okay. Well, she wanted me to speak on her behalf, so.
Would you like to be recorded as the attorney of record?
Sure.
Okay. And what's your name?
Sarah Thomas.
Okay, thank you.
So, pardon me, then our complainant's initials are?
AC.
AC, yes, okay. Because there was no name written on my form, that's why I.
Okay, you may.
I wasn't sure what the date was going to be or whether I could appear or not. I've been dealing with family.
All right, so we will refer to the patient by the initials only because this is all public record, and you may continue.
Thank you. So basically, I asked her, well, what is your complaint? And based on the dates of 2012, everything accurately has been stated. Again, she was taken from 2012 to 2015 with continuous complaints that it wasn't healing correctly. She was told swelling will go down, and it is true that in 2015, it was suggested that an implant be put in. And so surgery was scheduled for that. And the last pre-op before that, that was the first discussion of actually sewing the toes together, which my client stated she did not want to take place. And at that point, the doctor, on January 21st of 15th, there was the consult pre-op that to address the digital deformities that arose out of the 2012 operation, there would be a placement of an implant to lengthen and stabilize, and that the doctor again encouraged her to consider partial, I'm going to massacre the word, so I'll just say sewing them together, and that she stated that she, you know, she still wished to proceed with the implant. And then January 29th, she was traveling to Florida. There was a phone conversation. And then, again, recommended the procedure of sewing her toes together. She adamantly refused, at which time she was told that the doctor had never in his career walked into an operating room where he was constrained from doing procedures that may be required. This is not actually how my client asserts it went down. She was told, I don't feel comfortable doing the implant. We either sew them together or we don't. She had been dealing with this deformity since 2012 and with increasing problems with it. So that would explain the length of time we get from the initial 2012 to 2015. And since then, she's spoken with two doctors. I know that Dr. Schubert was consulted with, who said that everything was handled in an appropriate way. She spoke with Dr. Mailing, who said that, yes, it appears, this was the second doctor that said that the bone was cut too short. It could have been avoided. And that there are ways that further surgery can try to correct it. Again, Jerome Cohn stated that there were three problems, or three issues, and technique was one of them, resulting in the deformity from the first operation. There was no follow-up because it was not agreed to change it from the insertion of the insert to the sewing the toes together. And third, it was not really billing, but the manner in which it was done. When she first went to him, she stated, "I don't like the appearance of my toes. I think they're longer." And this is on both the right and the left foot. And they decided to start with the right foot. It can be compared to the left foot. Her feet were exactly the same. She just had a longer toe. She had never heard the term hammer toe. When she came to me, she didn't even use that term. She used it the wrong term. And she figured he's the doctor. He knows what he's doing. So she proceeded with that. To me, that does seem like an inappropriate manner in which to handle things. And also, since that, what did she want to come out of this? Her desired result was to have her toes corrected. She didn't proceed with either of the doctors because, although Dr. Maiden said that it would be handled by insurance to cover it, she doesn't want to have to go through her insurance. She wanted Dr. Loy to pay for the mistake that he had made. And we were at a standstill based on whatever happened with the board. Because the board's duty is to protect the public's health. And I don't believe this is an isolated incident. What was turned in with the complaint that she did was, and if she would have known that with the onset of all kinds of reports on the internet, you can find out about things like this. Back in 2008, there's a report of somebody going to Dr. Loewy for a bunion, and that he insisted on doing hammer tone procedure, and that since then, it's been 4 years. This is 4 years before my client had anything done. She wasn't aware of this, but in doing research to see what was out there, there's follow-up ones. There's another one, 2011, that he insisted on doing unnecessary surgery and might, suggest you just tape the toe down. And then a third one, and then there's also one that appears to be the only board complaint that had been filed, which is of all, board complaints. This is the one about not billing, and it appeared to have been submitted by somebody who was in the medical profession thinking she shouldn't have to pay a copay. And it's understandable why that one was dismissed. So bottom line is, my client wants the board to put Dr. Loewy on notice that if he has a high incidence of this elevated toe happening, it's not just a random occurrence. This may be a procedure that is being performed in not the standard of care way, because there's at least three people other than my client that over the course of almost 10 years have complained of this result. They've complained online, no way to track them down, but I'm not even sure how they get them on there, but it appears to be similar to what happened to my client. So although, yes, when treatment began, she was told that there can be complications, but not further disclosure that, well, yes, and I've actually, here's some of the complications that have occurred when I've performed this surgery. So it's a relatively high incidence if you want to take into consideration how many surgeries, and that this, in light of the fact that you are doing this for cosmetic reasons and want to have your feet look better, this would not be the way to go. It's been completely frustrating. She's had numbness since it occurred, and she has pictures because the reason she was grimacing in the last couple years is because it's developed calluses, it's developed rubbing, it's developed burning, and it affects, she was inducted into the Softball Hall of Fame, but only through great effort on her own and through a lot of pain. And now she feels like she can't move forward even with her team because she demonstrated to me how it is when she'll hit the ball or when she'll throw it. This is her life now that she's retired from working for Phoenix City Court. And I told her, based on the other complaints that we saw people just put on the internet, there is another avenue to take it to the board and to put the doctor on notice that this is something that the public can see then. Thank you for your time.
Any questions for us?
I have a question for the patient or representative. When you first went to see Dr. Loewy, were you having pain?
No, just my toes were long. They're slightly long, and I just wanted cosmetic surgery, but when I went in there, I told him, I said, my toes are kind of long. Well, we can fix that. I said, is it cosmetic? And he says, well, we can fix that. I said, well, the insurance pay. He goes, well, we can fix that. He says, we can put hammer toe. And I don't know what anything is. I said, okay, if the insurance is going to pay, let's go. That's go for it.
Well, it's documented in his notes and in the records that you were complaining of long, painful toes.
I have my, if you want to see my toes, they're kind of long. They're not that long, but they're long. And I just want it.
But were they painful?
No.
They weren't painful in your cleats?
No, sir. I'm not. No.
So the only reason you wanted this done is for cosmetic reason to shorten the toe?
Correct.
She's willing to take them off because nothing's been addressed to her left toe, which is her left foot, which is the same as her right foot. I've never seen her feet. Her husband doesn't see her feet. And with nothing we ever questioned, that's why she wanted it.
Well, we've seen the pictures of her feet and the toes, and at least the latest pictures. I don't know what year that was, but certainly we can see that the that there's a significant deformity there. But the point I was getting to was, did the patient have pain initially? Is that why she elected to go forward with having these procedures done? Or is it strictly a cosmetic? Because the records show that the patient was having pain preoperatively. That was the, and then it falls under that umbrella of what a hammer toe is. But that's what we're trying to get. And I didn't, our investigator didn't really address that, so I wanted to hear that from you and the patient.
And I'll let her answer that as well. But what I just to also clarify, she had a conversation with Jerome Cohen. She was traveling back from a softball game, so she was in the car. She answered his questions, and then he gave her his private number and said, if you have any further questions, you can ask me. She said she did, but she said she felt stupid because she kept referring to, instead of the board, she was saying the bar, because her frame of reference is legal.
Right.
And so I said, you want me to call him? And I did not want to bother him on a private phone number that had been provided, so I called what I found practice. He did not know he'd been since retired, and once they verified who I was and I got in contact with them, they said, go ahead and call him directly. I said, I have a few more questions that my client wanted me to ask you. And he said, I've already submitted my report. And I said, well, was everything going to be addressed, even the fact that she went in strictly for cosmetic and it was then handled as hammer toe? And all he did was he repeated three times, I've turned in my report. So I identified myself as I'm calling, as her friend, who happens to be an attorney as well, so. And in the report, the complaint to the board, every quotation that was used by Dr. Lowy is not something that she said. So, and we went through it together. She never said she was pleased, she never, you go through every single other note, and those were not statements that she made. So, she also went there strictly for cosmetic, and there had not been pain. And she does not have pain with her left foot, which was not operated on. It's just, it's less unsightly than the right one now, but at the time, she felt they were both unsightly.
Did you plan on going forward with having the left foot done?
If the right one would have came out correctly, I would have, yes. But after the pain and after everything, the looks, no.
In August of 2012, so you're 2 months post-op on the right foot.
So my feet was still swollen probably for about 6 to 8 months.
So were you planning on going forward with the left foot? Because his last note in August says, Angie will return ready to operate on the left foot.
No.
It's August 22nd.
No, because it was still swollen and it was very painful. No.
So you weren't talking about the left foot?
No, sir.
Okay. So on December 12th of 2013, so we're now a year and 3 months after, there's a little post-it note. How is she doing? And then it says, per patient, I'm doing good. How did that come about? Did you call their office looking for an appointment? Did they call you?
I don't remember that, to tell you the truth. I don't remember that. Sorry. I would like to show you my feet if you'd like to see the floppy toe and how he did the surgery.
Well,
we've got pictures,
we've got x-rays, we've got preoperative pictures, we've got intraoperative x-rays, we've got postoperative x-rays. I think we have a pretty good idea.
But you have all the ones that went long time ago when it first happened. Now, after all these years that have passed, the toe is looking really different now. I mean, it's healed, it's toe number two, he sewed it so tight that it has a curve now. Toe number three, he took too much bone out of there that it's bent, it's folded, and that's probably why he didn't feel comfortable doing the surgery, the implants, because they probably wouldn't have stayed straight. You know, that's,
yeah.
I have calluses growing on my fourth toe because the floppy number three toe is scooting over this way, which is pushing toe number four into toe number five, and I have a callus. And I can show you a picture of a callus that I went in to see a doctor, and he had it cut off, and then he filed it, which hurt so bad.
I'm sorry to interrupt. There's a legal matter that needs to be discussed in executive session prior to us continuing on this.
Yeah. So I'm going to move to executive session for purposes of this legal advice.
Second.
Any discussions?